Now, following the Burning Sun scandal that you may have heard about in recent weeks, drugs are getting special attention from the police around the world, really, but they're not the only ones paying attention to substances, if we should say. The fact is that there are some drugs that can be very helpful. Perhaps the dose is what's most important, but even psychedelics can be viewed as a way of treating anxiety and depression, or those having to face up to death. Mr. Michael Pollan, author of the number one New York Times bestseller, How to Change Your Mind, What the New Science of Psychedelics Teaches Us About Consciousness, Dying, Addiction, and Transcendence, a book that challenges us to examine what makes something a drug and what makes it potentially a medicine. Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure to be here.
You were previously best known for your writing on food and agriculture, with bestsellers like Food Rules, In Defense of Food, and The Omnivore's Dilemma. What shifted you over to psychedelics?
Well, I started hearing about these drug trials going on, specifically one giving psilocybin, which is the active ingredient in magic mushrooms, to people who were dying of cancer. And when I learned about that, it piqued my curiosity. It seemed like a crazy idea. But then I wrote an article about it and began interviewing these people and learned that people who were facing death with incredible amounts of fear and anxiety and depression were getting extraordinary relief after just a single session on psilocybin. I should add, it's a guided session. It's very different than when people use these drugs recreationally. They're very closely supervised and prepared carefully, and somebody sits with you the whole time and helps you make sense of the experience. But that one psychedelic journey completely reset their attitudes toward death, and I found this so remarkable that I decided to write a book about it.
It's almost like the impact people report from a near-death experience or something along those lines, isn't it?
And well, you know, it's very similar to that. What people describe is often very much like a near-death experience. There's that sense of separating from your body and acquiring a perspective on your life that you've never had before. And it becomes a kind of conversion experience. You feel like there was a before and an after. And it allows you really to break habits of thought that may be, you know, holding you in their grip.
Can you also, though, address some of the hearsay that people might be afraid of, the suggestion that these mushrooms can cause very unpleasant side effects, from physical nausea, for example, to perhaps even psychedelic impacts that would be a negative, that might even lead to suicide in horror cases?
Well, you know, I look very carefully at the risks of psychedelics, and here I'm talking about the classic psychedelics like psilocybin, LSD, DMT, and I was very surprised by what I found. Looking at the physiological risks, they're actually very slight. These are relatively non-toxic drugs. There's no lethal dose of classic psychedelics that we've been able to discover so far, and they're also not habit-forming. There are, however, as you suggest, psychological risks. People at risk for schizophrenia, for example, or other serious personality disorders should not take them, and in fact are not given these drugs in trials. And there is the risk of what's called a bad trip, I mean a really terrifying experience. But if you are prepared properly and someone is with you to guide you through that kind of thing, even a bad trip can turn out to be very productive. In the same way, analyzing a nightmare with a good psychotherapist can produce important insight about yourself. Are there people who have committed suicide on psychedelics? Yes, but not in these supervised trials or not when working with a guide. And people can do stupid things on psychedelics. They can walk into traffic. They can fall off a building. People have, you know, accidents do happen because you're not in command of your faculties. But so far, in all I think about 1,000 people have received a psychedelic in this renaissance of new research in the last 15 years or so, and there has not been a single adverse event.
I mean, there were fears recently, for example, about Tamiflu, even though it was a relatively small number of cases where there'd been really unwanted psychological consequences that had resulted in tragedies. There have also, of course, been similar concerns about antidepressants, though, and that's part and parcel
of
even mainstream medicine.
Good point. Mm. You know, antidepressants, SSRIs, help some people, but they also have risks. They are addictive. People have a lot of trouble getting off them. And if you look at the risk factors for antidepressants, suicide is one of them. So, you know, I think we have to compare benefits and risks. There are always going to be risks. And people need to be screened carefully before they're given a psychedelic. But on balance, compared to so many other of the psychotropic medicines we give people, I mean, the antipsychotics, for example, are very, very toxic and lead to pretty horrific side effects in many cases, as well as dramatic weight gain. I mean, the other thing to remember about a psychedelic is you're not taking it every day. You're doing it once, maybe twice, and so the drug is in your body for a very short amount of time. And in fact, they know how to, if you have suicidal thoughts, they know very well how to get you out of that.
It also reminds me a little bit of the debate over traditional medicine, in inverted commas, and that's something we experience here in Korea as well. Some people immediately dismiss the herbal or other more natural approaches to treating illnesses. But if we look at, say, indigenous cultures around the world, they might be experimenting with psychedelics where people will go into a trance-like state and they'll come out of it with either a psychological benefit or even a physical benefit. Is this something we can test, though?
Well, we are testing it. I mean, there's a series of drug trials going on in the United States, in Europe, and in Brazil, giving people these drugs under carefully controlled circumstances and taking scans of their brain, carefully evaluating the effects. So the drugs are going through the same drug approval process right now that the antidepressants did or any antibiotic has done. So we will know in just a few years, less than 5 years probably, if these drugs are safe and effective and better than the current treatments we have, which is very exciting. It's true, as you suggest, that psychedelics have been used in traditional societies for hundreds and perhaps thousands of years. Not LSD, which is a 20th century drug, but drugs like psilocybin and ayahuasca and various forms of toad venom and things like that. And traditional cultures have found them very helpful in healing people and also as means of practicing their religion. They're sacraments in some places. So we have a long experience with these molecules, which should give us some additional confidence that they're safe. But now they are going through that very conventional drug approval process. And if they succeed, as it now seems likely, psychiatrists will be able to prescribe them, doctors too, and they will be conceivably covered by health insurance when that happens. We're not that far away from that point.
I find it fascinating, honestly, and I've seen a few actual video features from, for example, platforms like Vice, where they've been on the fringes, but this does seem to be coming into the mainstream, not only evidenced by your New York Times bestseller, but also the fact that if you search articles, Denver's been leading the charge on this legally, trying to legalize magic mushrooms. Has the marijuana revolution spearheaded some of this? And what about the concerns that once that gate's open, it could lead to all sorts of things flying through the door?
Yeah, well, I do think that the U.S. experience with cannabis, which was first legalized as a medicine, medical marijuana, and then that got people comfortable enough with the idea to pave the way for a more general legalization in several states, has been a template for some people. But I don't think the future of, say, psilocybin is going to be the same. Whereas those approvals came through state legislative or proposals on ballots, in this case, we're going through the normal federal regulatory channels. And frankly, I'm not sure that psilocybin should be simply legalized. They're much more powerful drugs than cannabis. And that I think that they need to be very carefully regulated. And a medical situation is one very good way to regulate it. The fact that, you know, you need a trained therapist to administer the drug. So I'm not sure that the sort of free-for-all that we see with cannabis is right for this drug. On the other hand, I don't believe that, you know, people should suffer criminal penalties for using something like magic mushrooms. As long as something's illegal or simply prohibited, you can't regulate it, of course. And I think regulating it in this case is very, very important. You know, we still have a lot of work to do to figure out how to incorporate these very powerful and strange molecules in our medicine, not to mention in our culture. And that's going to take some work. But if we look at the lesson of traditional cultures, people never would take these drugs alone. There was always an elder who knew the territory and guided you. And you did them only at very special times for very specific reasons, with real intention. They were really not used recreationally in traditional culture. So I think we have a lot to learn by those examples, and we should really pay attention to them.
Michael Pollan, author of How to Change Your Mind. And have our minds been changed? #1013 for 51 per message if you want to answer that for yourself. But Michael Pollan, thank you very much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Alex. Thank you.